Happy Halloween and welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for October 31st, 2008. This is a very special podcast because not only is it Halloween, but the 2008 presidential election is coming up next Tuesday. With this in mind, we decided to find out what, if anything, a good scare has in common with politics. Well, our roving reporter, Karina Wu, scared up this story.
A person's political beliefs are shaped by many social and psychological factors. But now, a study has shown that a person's physiology might have an influence as well. John Hibbing is a professor of political science at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. He and his colleagues took 46 individuals with strong political opinions, exposed them to threatening images and startling noises, and measured their physical response.
The thing that we found is that by knowing how sensitive people were to these threats, whether they be auditory threats or visual threats, that we could make predictions about their political beliefs.
Hibbing says the people with the strongest physical reactions tended to endorse policies protective of social groups, such as controlling immigration or fighting terrorism, while those who reacted less strongly tended to favor policies that protect privacy and encourage gun control.
You have people who are experiencing the world, experiencing threat differently. It's just a question that we have these very different physiological orientations. We do know, though, it's very deep because it's a reflex. It's not something that you can kind of just change tomorrow and say, well, maybe I'll be a little bit less concerned about threat. These run deep.
Hibbing says this could help explain why people hold the political beliefs that they do and why it might be so hard to change their minds.
Thanks, Karina. It's sort of interesting. If we can use what people fear to tell us what they believe politically, then perhaps if we know what people believe politically, we'll know what scares them the most. I mean, aside from just like, you know, a mask of Dick Cheney or Nancy Pelosi. So I'm sure there's room for much more research, including exactly what costumes could best be used in which neighborhoods when you're going out trick-or-treating. And speaking of how we respond to fear, Suzanne answers a listener's question about why we fear what we do.
We've got a lot of fears this election season, the economy, the war, the environment. But listener Dale from Tucson, Arizona, duly noted that sometimes we fear things that don't actually exist, like monsters and aliens, instead of real threats. Well, Dale, no one really knows for sure why we do this, but one hypothesis comes from monster expert Brian McFadden of Texas Tech University. He says that when societies face threats such as an invading army or nuclear war, people tend to displace these rather overwhelming fears.
What I've noticed is whenever there is a real threat out there, sometimes a society or a culture or individuals in that society or culture aren't always willing to face it directly. And so what happens is the fear gets displaced a little bit onto things that are in stories, things that are easier to contain, that you know in the end aren't true and aren't going to hurt you. So I think that there is a real fear involved, but what it's doing is it's taking the real fear and displacing it onto something that you can handle, something that you can deal with because you know it's in the end just a fiction. There has been some recent research about looking at why it is that freakish, you know, beings or monsters come up, and that suggests that what we are scared of is something that you can contain in a movie, something that is ultimately fictional. Okay, it is not real. It's there on the screen, but you go home, you get a good scare, you get this catharsis, you have the purge of the fear, and it makes you easier to go out and face reality. It's not so much that you're running away from reality, okay, by going to see a monster movie or something like that. You're just facing it in a different form, something that is perhaps a little easier to handle. I mean, because when you get right down to it, none of us can handle environmental collapse or nuclear war or something like that. There's not one person just cannot do. But on the other hand, if we take those fears and channel them into something that we can control, that, you know, basically you buy a movie ticket, you walk in, you see the movie, you go out, or you pick up a scary book, you read it, and then you finish the story, then you put it down, it's that fear is contained, and it basically gives you the strength to keep going. And it lets you have a chance to deal with the fear and deal with this cultural anxiety in a way that an individual can handle it.
He adds that as cultures have adopted a more global and scientific worldview over time, our irrational fears of earthbound mythological creatures may have shifted to extraterrestrial aliens.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. And finally, we have another psychology story, this one from Stanford University. Clifford Nass, a professor there, along with his colleagues, gave volunteers an online math test. And the volunteers were randomly assigned a picture that would represent them on screen, and it would be either a male or a female face. Nass says that the participants who were assigned a female face did worse on the test when they competed against male faces.
Regardless of whether you were a male or female, if you had a male face, you did better on the math test than if you had a female face. You thought you did better. You tried harder. and all these other effects. And if you think about that, that's a shocking result.
But Nass says the good news is that emphasizing cooperation instead of competition reduced the negative effect. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, we'll look at what's different about the musician's brain. We'll tell you why sled dogs never get tired, and we'll tackle a listener's sticky question about cement. Until then, check out our Science Update Podcast Daily Edition. We've got a brand new science story every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website or at iTunes. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.